Right now, we're joined in the studio by Orange County Conservative Ashley DeSena still?
Well, it depends on who you ask. If you
Okay.
ask the Social Security or the DMV, I'm Ashley Campbell now.
You got married, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, a while ago, but yeah.
I'm still in this weird transition where, on Facebook, I'm still Ashley DeSena, and I feel like until I change it on
Yeah,
Facebook, it's
not
not
until it's Facebook
official.
official. Yeah,
Exactly,
exactly.
exactly. But it's a weird
All
thing
right.
that.
Well, Ashley joins us here. You're like Beyoncé or Oprah. You're like the one name person
Yeah,
right now.
sure. Yeah,
Yeah,
that
there you
works for
go. All
me.
right.
That's
We're
fine.
joined in the studio by Ashley, Orange County Conservative. We're talking about Election Day, and we could talk about everything, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I have been just I just came from a polling place right across the street here. I'm not too familiar with Chapel Hill's parks, but I want to say it's a Chapel Hill
Oh, the
Community
Chapel Hill
Park.
Community Center,
Yeah, our
yeah, on
community
Estes
center.
Drive, right.
And I was there to hand out sample Republican ballots
Okay.
if anybody wanted them, but it wasn't very busy. I can't imagine they had any line inside at all. And those people that I did speak to had already voted. So I think that, they're there just to pick up their kids or drop them off or
Gotcha.
whatnot, but they seem to fit the what I'd heard about how early voting was just huge. I
Yeah.
think in Orange County there was a 19% increase over 2012, and
Something like
then
that, yeah.
statewide it was over 12%.
12%,
So
yeah.
it's really jumped up.
Yeah, and I remember the 1996 presidential election where like there was just hardly any excitement whatsoever about any of the candidates. Like no one loved them, no one hated them. They were just kind of there, and turnout
Yeah.
was, what is it, like 48, 40, I don't even think it hit 50% across the country. And
I'm
now
not
we're to the
sure.
point with this election where early voting turnout is 50, getting up to 60% before Election Day even happens, which
Yeah,
is,
I
I don't
know.
know if that's good or bad,
I
but
don't know. I have a kind of a snarky theory
yeah.
about it
Well, because
that
we
some
always talk about
people.
how voting is great and everyone should get out into the polls and vote, but the sort of the there's always an
Yeah.
upside and the downside, and the downside is if so many people are excited about the election, that means there's a great deal at stake, which means there's a lot of uncertainty and instability, and you don't necessarily want that. So
Right.
there's that to consider as well.
Or
But
people could just be wanting to get it over with.
or
I don't
that,
know. I
yeah.
kind of felt that way
Well, a little
myself.
bit of both.
I finally went on Saturday
Okay.
to get it done.
What was it like on Saturday? Because I saw turnout a little bit lower than I was thinking it would be, but then.
Well, where I went, which was the Board of Elections office in Hillsboro, I mean, it was fairly busy.
Okay.
I didn't wait very long, maybe 5, 10 minutes, but all things considered, I think it seemed like a pretty busy morning for them.
Yeah. All
But
right.
yeah, so I kind of felt like just getting it over with, just finally going in and putting in my ballot. But I haven't heard many problems. Some people have been saying there's some issues with voting machines here and there, but I've
Durham is
been
the one, yeah.
yeah Durham County has had I think the State Board of Elections, probably you reported on it, just said that they'll extend the voting time however
Oh wait, did
long.
the State Board of Elections say that? Because
I
I
just saw
didn't.
it on Twitter. They
Okay.
did.
I know
They
the Durham Board of Elections has asked for the state to approve that, and I didn't know if the state had actually granted that yet.
Well, I can say that I saw that the State Board of Elections, their policy was that if voting had ceased for 15 minutes
15
or
minutes,
more,
right.
then they would extend the time by however long voting had ceased.
Yes, yeah, that
So,
was the state law.
I don't know, though, now that you say that, if they are actually applying
Yeah,
that
because I
to
was thinking they
Durham
were
or if that
meeting,
was
I think they
just.
were about to start meeting like now, and
Oh,
I don't know if they had
okay.
actually confirmed that
All
yet,
right,
but
I'm sorry. I don't want
so
to
basically what I've been saying is, hey, if you're in Durham, get there by 7:30 just to be on the safe side, because they might
Right.
stay open until 9, but I don't think that's a done deal yet,
And you
so
just have to be in
you
line at
just have to be in
7:30,
line,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, and then they'll stay open however long it takes. But yeah, so I guess there's some concern about voter suppression this time around, in North Carolina, especially since, just in August, there was the voter ID law that was
Right.
overturned. And, there's been a slight decrease in the African-American vote, which I just read a Washington Post editorial this morning about that, about North Carolina specifically, and how it's an example of voter suppression, that African-American early voting went down 8% compared to 2012. But, you know, I kind of feel like maybe there are other reasons, like, but let's just wait for, you know, some of the evidence to come in.
I mean, it's a lot of factors, because there's that, there's the fact that Obama's not at the top of the ballot, there's Hurricane Matthew that affected.
That too, exactly.
I mean,
and also, just, you know, you not only is President Obama, who's, you know, an African-American candidate, running for president, there's two historically unpopular candidates, you know, running for the Democrat and Republican. So, you know, maybe they're just not as enthusiastic about either of those candidates.
I will say, like, and I think both parties and both party officials could do a better job with this. And we're certainly seeing this at the State Board of Elections and the County Board of Elections being sort of generally controlled by Republicans this year in North Carolina, that so many, and fortunately, I don't think, and Orange County had a bit of a fight over this among the three people on their board, but I think it worked out all right. Durham County, same thing. Wake County, all of the Triangle counties were okay with this, but some of the counties in North Carolina that only had the one side open for the first week, like Guilford County, for instance, which is a much more populated county than Orange County or Alamance or some of the counties around here, where they only had the one early voting site open, and that's where voter turnout was lower. And I think,
but just for the first week.
Just for the first week, but I mean, that does have an impact on early voting overall, because you're not, like, early voting is depressed for the first week. It's not like everyone's gonna roll out in that second week. And I think, I don't know, the Republican Party could do a better job as far as that goes. I think Democrats could do a better job in terms of, I mean, one of the things that we've talked about before is, now I'm just blanking on it. One of the things we talked about before is, the Republicans have been proposing making local races even numbered years, which would make the ballot longer, but it would also guarantee like 40-50% turnout for those local races as opposed to 10-15%. And that's something that, you know, should be considered, I think.
Right. I mean, it was hard to believe it's been a year.
Yeah.
When I was running for Hillsborough Town Board, I'm so glad not to be on the ballot this year.
You don't want to be on the ballot this year?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I mean, it was really, really fun. Don't get me wrong. But, gosh, it's a lot of work. But, you know, all that work, though, for just 13%
of
registered voters.
Which is, like 1,000 voters, I think, something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very small.
Right.
And so just 13% of registered voters came out. And that was kind of a big bump compared to the previous cycles for municipal elections. And, it wouldn't hurt my feelings to have it go all at once. And then, so you have those on the even years.
Yeah.
There are arguments against that, but not only would it seemed to me would make it more efficient, and increase voter turnout, and get people more engaged in local elections, because really they matter just as much, you know, state and local and state
Absolutely,
elections
yeah.
matter as much as, you know, who's president as far as how as it affects your daily life. But then, you know, another early voting thing that has always puzzled me is just, you know, why have the same policy for early voting when it's primaries that are not nearly as busy as, you know, the general election.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like if you know, having 17 days maybe is appropriate for a general election, but why do that for the primary?
When primary turnout is like 25% or so.
Right.
Yeah.
When it's not nearly as busy. So it seems like there could be some kind of, you know, we have it one way for primaries and we expect this amount of turnout, and then we adjust and have more voting hours and polling places for general.
Yeah, I could see that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't make these rules. They didn't ask me. So that's just the one idea I have.
Yeah.
But
So we're speaking with Ashley DeSena. Ashley, for right now.
Yeah, that's right.
About Election Day, which is going on for the next couple of hours. And let's talk about party polarization. Because one of the, I mean, this has been the issue, obviously, this year that, you know, it's not just that, the two candidates are unpopular. It's that they're also sort of despised by the other side. And that's just an indication of party polarization. And I was reading Ezra Klein at a piece on Vox.com a couple of days ago, which is really good. But some of the numbers that he had, looking at just sort of survey data, 1994, 36% of Republicans were more liberal than the average Democrat. 2 years ago, it was 8%. In 1994, 30% of Democrats were more conservative than the average Republican. In 2014, it was 6%. 50 years ago in 1964, and that was a polarizing election too, because
they
had Johnson Goldwater and the Daisy ad and everything. That year, about 31-32% of party members, and it was exactly the same number with Democrats and Republicans, reported having, direct quote, cold negative feelings about the other major party. 4 years ago in 2012, and we're more polarized today than we were 4 years ago, in 2012 it was 77-78%. That's shocking and not shocking to me. Like, something needs to be done about that, because that's that's what's creating the gridlock, which is frustrating people as much as it is. So how do we overcome that?
Right. Well, you know, well, first I'll say I don't necessarily think that gridlock is a bad thing. I'll just use the example of the Burr-Ross race for Senate. I mean, some of the advertising that I've seen for Ross and against Burr is that, you know, he's not doing his job as a senator because they won't hear consider Merrick Garland for the Supreme Court nomination. And, you know, I think that's sort of a feature of our checks and balances. So I don't necessarily think that gridlock is bad. Government's supposed to move slow. And that's okay, but I hear what you're saying about the polarization.
And I think government's supposed to move slow, which is to say that it's supposed to be slow and also move.
Right.
Like, on a certain level, if it just grinds to a halt, that's almost as bad as speeding up and not having any checks whatsoever.
Well,
if there
are
issues,
Yeah, no, it's better. You don't... having things move too fast, you come up with stuff like
HB2. Right,
yeah,
you don't want
No, you don't want that. So, you know, I think that part of the polarization, I was just reading an article, maybe it was in the Federalist, I'm not sure, but it was a really thoughtful piece about how we have this climate now where we have just decided, we just all have just decided that we want someone else to blame for our problems. You know, whether, you know, if you're on the conservative side, maybe you want someone to blame for, you know, why is manufacturing disappearing? Why is illegal immigration continuing? I'm just thinking about stuff that, you know, has been in Trump's platform. So, you know, you want someone else to blame. If you're on the more liberal side, maybe you want, you're blaming Wall Street or, you know, big business and government or something like that. So, I mean, I don't have any solutions, of course. If I did, I'd be much wealthier than I am. But, you know, I think that it's going to be decentralized. I think that we have to recognize that the solution can only come from, you know, every individual's individual effort. But we have to make the demand for our values known, and someone who will respond to it with the answer. Like I said, I don't have the answer.
Right.
And it's sort of like in economics or like the markets, like, well, if people make their demand known for, you know, a widget, you know, somebody will come along and they'll make a widget and then the people will buy widgets. And so I don't know what that's going to look like, though. I mean, will it just be a third party? Maybe so. That's kind of what I would hope for, because I don't think we need to turn the whole system upside down. I think our system, our government is good. It's just I mean, it's amazing it's even lasted this long. Compared to other nations in the world, our government is amazingly stable. But it's just a matter of focusing, you know, our efforts and trying to make what we want appear in the world, are working at it ourselves rather than pointing fingers at someone else.
Yeah.
So easier said than done, right?
And I think the media is to blame for a lot of, well, now I'm pointing fingers, but I'm pointing fingers at myself, so it's okay.
Well, they exacerbate these feelings.
Well, I mean,
they fan the
used
flames.
To be, absolutely, and it used to be the case that, I mean, media outlets, whether it was the major news networks or the newspapers, saw providing the news as a public service. It wasn't a money-making venture. It was a money-losing venture that we did because it was a public service for the people. Maybe it was a requirement, maybe it was contractual, maybe it was just something we did, but that's how we perceived it. And now it's become, and if you haven't watched the movie Network and you're listening out there, do so, because it's the best movie ever for this, but it's so good. But it's the transition to making money. And how do you make money? You get ratings, you get clicks and page views and newspaper sales. And how do you do that? You appeal to people's emotions. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you learn from the movie Inside Out is that four of the five basic human emotions are negative. You've got joy, and then you got sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. So if you're gonna you're gonna appeal to people's emotions, you're probably gonna appeal to negativity more than happiness. And now we've got the situation that we're in.
Yeah, that's and the reason I think that's effective probably is because it just has something to do with our means of survival.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we fear the saber-toothed tiger because, you know, I'm talking about us as cavemen, tens of thousands of years ago. But, you know, and that motivates us. And they know that. I think we've seen that probably in this election more than any other time. I mean, I'm 32, but more than any other time I can recall. But when you look back at, you mentioned Goldwater, when I listened to his talk and his, you know, everything was about policy. Everything was so clearly defined and reasoned. And a lot of people say that, you know, we're going to get the candidates that we deserve. And, you know, do we deserve this? That's a terrible, uncomfortable question to ask.
Yeah, because either way you answer it, it's not good. Either no, we don't deserve it, and yet we've gotten it, or yes, we do deserve it, and either way, that's...
But I think that's just why the only means to a solution I can see is that we individually start demanding better of the people that we send to write our laws, and that we hold them accountable, because darn it, they work for us, not the other way around.
Which means that as exciting as today is, and as like committed as everyone is to talking about and yelling about this election all year long, we got to keep that focus on November 9th and beyond too.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, there will be a November 9th. It's going to be a long night between now and then.
You say that now,
There will be a November 9th one way or another. And so no matter who wins the president, especially, I think that it's up to us in our own households, in our own communities, to push that demand out and upward. And then, you know, if we're effective at doing that, then in 4 years or, you know, whenever we have another election cycle like this, then we'll have better candidates to choose from that are more, you know, aligned with our values.
I think we'll stop it there. We got to let you go. But
sure.
Ashley, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.